All right, let's get started. The recording starts. Let's get started. So we are, as we said, on Daf Memchet Amud Aleph, about, I would say it's like nine lines down, the two dots, where it says Amr of Yehuda, Braid of Shmuel. There's, in this Amud, which is actually a very enjoyable Amud as I was preparing it, so hopefully that enjoyment will carry over. And obviously not the time, the tiredness of when I was preparing it, but the enjoyment, which I really did. There's a few very interesting, both halach and lemaisa ideas that come out of this Amud, a few historical things that come out of this Amud, and a few very interesting, let's say, points of lumdus that come out of this Amud. And we're going to try and get all of them. Got a big agenda. Got a big agenda tonight. Okay. But it is really actually very interesting Amud. So we're going to jump right into it. So Amr of Yehuda, braids of Shmuel Bar Shila. Okay, Rav Yehuda says, Mishmeid de Rav, he said the name of Rav, the following halacha, Tisha achlu dagan, if nine men eat bread, ve'echad acha yerek, mitzarfin, and one guy eats vegetables, then they are including him in the zimun for asara. They can say, Hashem, right? So when they do the zimun for benching. Okay, this halacha, which we're going to get into more detail right now, is very relevant. This happens, can happen frequently where you have someone who decided they're not eating bread, right? They're on some kind of, carb-free diet. So this can happen. So the halacha would be mitzarfin. And we're going to get into exactly when and how much. And okay. So, I'm Rav Zera. By me name Rav Yehuda. Rav Zera said, I asked from Rav Yehuda, Shmona Mahu. Well, what if it's not nine? It's always like, it's inside. Okay, so what if it's only eight? And I asked him, Shiva Mahu, what if it's only seven? Amar Lei, he said, Yehuda answered him, Loishna. Doesn't matter. The halacha stays the same. Meaning, even if there's only eight, or even if there's only seven people who ate bread, and up to three who have only eaten vegetables, something non-bread, then they're also mistart to the zimun as well. So it continues. The shisha, well, that's six. He says six, vadai lo mibayli. Six, I did not ask. Now, the word vadai here, which usually vadai means certainly, is a little bit of a, what's the right word? It's a, it's a hard to translate here. Meaning, I certainly didn't ask him six. He's just going down. Each case is a bigger chiddush. So I certainly didn't ask him six. So some say there's two different explanations what this vadai can mean. One explanation is, the vadai is actually a roshe tevos for the following. Vidalid achlu yerek. What if four ate vegetables? Vav, dalid, aleph, yud. Vidalid achlu yerek is the roshe tevos, they say. So he asked them six. If only four of them ate yerakos, loy nevayli, I didn't ask him that case. There's no certainty to that case, but he didn't ask it, and he didn't ask them. The other way in which they trained the girsa, and this fits with Rashi, which we'll see later, is some say it wasn't vadai, it was vaida. It was like, woe to me that I didn't ask the case of six. Meaning I should have asked my Rebbe six also. If I would have asked him, I would have known the answer. So I didn't ask him that case. So we know eight is good, seven is good, six. I didn't ask him. So I'll... is Rov. So we'll get to it. Hold on a second. So Amr, good point. So Amr Le, Rav Yirmiya says to him, Shafir Abbas Abayla. It was right of you not to ask. Hasam time am I, Mishum Diika, Ruba. It's Rov. Meaning the reason why eight works and a seven works and a nine works is because of you have the majority of the Seiruf, the majority of this group which is benching, had bread. So the same is true for six. If 60 bread and four have the vegetables, it's still rove. So Hanami Ikarova here too. There's rove, and therefore mitzarfin, according to Rav Yirmiya. The ihu. Wait a second. But what about Zera? He didn't ask the question. Why didn't he ask? Why didn't he think to assume it was the same? Ihu sava ruva de min karbeinan. According to Rav Zera, you need for benching not a rove, a ruva de minkar, a noticeable rove. You know what we call it? Not a majority. A supermajority, right? They call in politics a supermajority. Okay, what's a supermajority? So we'll get into it in a second, in more detail, but the Rebbe Yonah says it means two-thirds. You need at least a two-thirds.
goes into politics.
Is that what they do in the politics? So it's, they get, you know where they get from. You know where that comes from? Here it comes. Ruv d'minkar, but you know what is ruv d'minkar? At least more than 2/3. It's going to be 7 out of 10 in the case of 10. Okay. So let me ask you a question. Actually, let's start with this, the following question. Let's start with this first, this simple thing. So we said he eats vegetables. Anything else? Is it only vegetables? Mizonos for work, for sure. What if he just drinks a drink? Would that be enough? So the Shulchan Aruch makes the following comment. It says, I'll read you the Shulchan Aruch. It says, Tishesh achu dagan. Ve'achad achu kezayis yerek. Now, first of all, the Shulchan Aruch says not that they ate a yerakos, but they ate at least a kezayis yerek, the size of an olive. That's the minimum size of achila. Why? Why does he add the extra piece in? So there's one reason. Either because he has to say Sha'achal Nimishol. He's going to join them and say Sha'achal Nimishol. Baruch Sha'achal Nimishol. He can't say Sha'achal Nimishol if he eats a crumb. That's not an achila.
Right.
A maisa achila. In halacha, the smallest volume of eating something, which is considered to be an act of eating, an act of halachic eating, is a kezayis, at minimum. Therefore, after kezayis. Another reason they say is because if he eats the kezayis, that person too is chayav in bracha achrona. Granted, it's not the benching per se,
right,
but he's mitzarev to his din because he too has to make a bracha achrona. Even if he's anything less than kezayis, he's not making a bracha achrona. Therefore, he can't be mitzarev to the group that's making a birchas mazon bracha achrona. That's the other reason they say. Okay, fine. But nonetheless, says Yarek, mitzarfin lahazkir Hashem. Okay, and then it says, which is what we're going to quote later in the Gemara, is afilu lo tabel imahim ela betzir or lo shasim imam ela kais echad. Even if he just drank one cup of drink with this group, that would be enough to start with the group. With one exception, chutz min mayim, except from water. Why? Why does water not count? You might think it's not chashuv. The reason why he says is because, in the explanation that the Mishnah Berurah here quotes, is because it's not mazon. It's not something which gives nourishment. You might be even if you're thirsty, water would not count to join you as part of this group, because it doesn't provide any nourishment. So any other drink which provides some nourishment, I don't know if diet sodas provide nourishment.
No.
So chemicals, bubbles, and water, I don't know. What?
Naked
what?
A drink.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. That for sure counts. If you're listening to this, he's referring to the drink company. Okay. In addition, there'll be any kind of other juices. It'll be wine. It'll be wine for sure. It would be orange, it would be milk, and presumably any kind of, a Gatorade? Anything that has calories in it. So seltzer probably wouldn't count for the same reason as Rashi, because again, if it's about chashivos, so you might offer a nice guest a bottle of seltzer more than you offer him water, but if it provides nourishment, seltzer might be tasty, but doesn't provide any nourishment. So it seems like calories is, at least in this halacha, a good thing, although some people are calorie-averse. Okay, so this is important halacha because this comes up. Now, the second question is, what about if you want to be mitzaref one person with two? So we're talking about Ziman Asara, a group of 10 people are going to come together, and the 10 who are benching can say, Baruch Elokeinu, they can say Hashem's name, Shachal Nimishol, in their benching. But the regular case of benching, which the Gemara doesn't talk about, is simply three people who eat bread together. They can bench, and they're going to have a zimun. They're not going to say Hashem's name, but they're also going to bench. What if two of the three have had bread, and the third only had yerakos? What would you say in that case?
Okay.
You want to say it's okay?
Yeah.
Okay. So let's see. Tosos has two different opinions. So Tosos says, first of all, Tisha. We're talking about the same halacha. Yerakos, a drink of soda, a drink of wine. Okay. So Tosfos the Tosfos says Tisha she'achlu dagan ve'achad yerek mitzarif. It says Tachi yochasa. This is how we paskin, meaning this idea that one is mitzarif. Okay, the one ate a yerek, or shata kos yain, or drank wine. Mitzarev, he's mitzarev to the zimun. He can even say, of course, he can join them, not just say he counts, but he can join them in the responsa of the responding back and forth in the Zimun. Even if he only drank a drink, he could say Baruch She'achal Mishlo, because again, halachically, Shtia is like Achila. Okay, for the purposes of, like, you know, of different halachic issues. Okay, now. He says, "Yesha rotzim lomar haynu dafka lezimasar, but leshlosha lo mitzarte." There are some who say, "Who's this?" The Rish. The Rish says, "If the Rebbe Apostoli says, if two had bread and one did not, that is not going to be mitzar in that case." Dehareh leel, because earlier we find machmirin and tfei b'tzir shlosha miyasar, making a zimun a seira for three is harder than for ten. Okay, we'll get into it in a second. So the point is, there's that he holds one opinion and says you cannot. Later on, he quotes other opinions, and also Yerushalmi seems to say this way, and the Ri also, another one of the Rishonim, who say you can be Mistar 3 + 1. Why? And we're going to see. There's two different Gemaras, which is like a good Chazar. There's two Gemaras which we recently did, which seem to point in opposite directions. I mean, the real question is, if I tell you that in a case of 10, 9, plus one is mitzaref. What would I assume logically? Can I take the same principle and apply it to the zimun of three? Is the zimun of three more chamur? Is it stricter? Does it have stricter regulations than the zimun of 10, or does it have more lenient regulations? Because after all, the zimun of 10 is saying the name of God. It's saying Shem Hashem. So let's look at the evidence that we have from recent gemaras and mishpat. So number one, Tosos mentioned that there was recently a case where we saw that we're stricter by three. What was that? We had said on Daf Mem Zayin Amud Beis, just the other week, we said, if you have nine. So he says, this case, Katan Eim Zamna Alav, we do not include a Katan in our Zimun, but Osin Oso Snifla Sara, we can make a Katan, even a baby, in the baby carriage, in addition to 10. So we find that for 3 it wouldn't work, but for 10 it would work. So it sounds like, okay, because maybe you might say logically, because I already have like a Zimun. I mean, we're for sure already benching. The only question is, Shem Hashem, maybe I could add in a person who's not 100%. Maybe that's more lenient. That Gemara would seem to imply, and that's what the Rif quotes, that you should not be able to translate the halacha by 10 over to the case of 3. But there's another Gemara. The other Gemara says that what about if you have a group of people ate together and some people left? They left the room. So we had said that when it comes to 3, if 2 are still there and one guy is out in the hall, he's just outside the building, and he's in a nearby vicinity so he can hear, but he's not in the building. He's just near enough, close enough to hear him. He could be mistarif to the Zimun, because the need to connect us is not as strong. When it comes to 10, that Gemara has said that the 10 all have to be inside the room together. And so it seems like the tarif is stricter by 10. So if we're going to allow that Gemara, seems now this that Gemara is quoted by the Rebbe Yona, if we're going to allow 10 to have one guy who ate the vegetables, certainly by 3, which seems to be more lenient about where we can have the fear of coming together, even outside the building, we should also allow someone who only had Jirako. That's far. So what would the Rif say about that? Go back and forth, right? So that would seem to be a proof for what you said, which is, even for 3, we should allow them all to come together, because 3 is more lenient, after all. So what would the Rif say, the people who say you can't do, what would they say about that Gemara? So they would answer, that Gemara, this is what the Rebbe says, that Gemara says that 10 have to be in the same room. We all know why. That's not because they're trying to combine their achilah together. That's because it's something very unique about what 10 are creating. 10 are creating hashrat hashkina, the presence of God, bring down the presence of God to dwell among that group, to be in their presence. To have Hashem come and be among our presence, we have to be present, all present and accounted for. If one's outside, Hashem's not showing up. If you want a minion, you can't say a minion would include the guy who's outside the door. He can't be in a separate rishus, in a separate vicinity than everyone else. So what the Rush would say is that, what that Riff would say is that that Gemara is more strict with 10 only because it's talking about the shkina. But when it comes to Achila, okay, Achila can bring it together anyway. That's his opinion. However, Lehalacha, we follow what you pointed, you said, which is that we can, you can even include in a zimun of three, one person who has even only has something to drink, or has something like vegetables or non-bread, and he can be part of the zimun. Again, the proof for these two connections is Rav Yonah, who says the whole source of this is that three should for sure work, and what is the ratio by three? Two-thirds. Which is why he says the ratio of a supermajority should be always two-thirds. So 7 out of 10 works. 6 out of 10, going back to our Gemara, 6 out of 10 doesn't work. What's interesting is, I think the other thing that you point out, you mentioned minions, is that what is the minimum number of people? We want to daven with a minion. And we say, you know, who's daven? We daven Marv. But some people say, I daven Marv Red. Some people in this room have already daven Marv Red. So we want to be mitzvah for a minion. So what's the minimum number of people who have not yet davened to say, okay, we can make a minion with this group? We can add some people who have already davened and some people who haven't davened. The minimum number is six. By tefillah, all you need is rove. And of ten, the majority of ten is six. But the majority for benching is not regular rove, it's ruva de minkara, a noticeable rove. Why is that? It's a ruva de minkara, a noticeable rove. Isn't that interesting? So I don't know. I leave it open to you guys. I haven't seen. I'm sure people talk about it. I'm sure it's discussed. But we've learned some gemaras, and you know, I don't know if it has something to do with when benching. We talked about whether you have people spread out or close together. Sometimes 9 looks like 10. We mentioned in the gemara earlier. It could be the perception of what we have in terms of a substantial eating of a meal together is almost more important than the technical numbers. Meaning, if you're playing a numbers game, if it's simply about numbers, we need 10, a quorum of 10. We need Hashra Sashkina, we need the presence of God. That means 10 people. That's an Eda, that's a group. So it's a numbers game. Numbers is math. Math is, you don't play games of math. Math is 10, period. End. But if you want, like, a show of force, you want to show the president, he's wrong, we're going to cancel his veto. You want to do something which is a show of force, then you need a supermajority. It could be that the idea behind the serif of how we're combining our chilas to demonstrate something greater than the sum of the parts, and be able to do a zimun, which is a separate mitzvah, a separate bracha, consider a separate bracha, a separate mitzvah, that is something that needs a perception of something greater than a small group together. And that perception might require a supermajority of wheaten bread than rather a technical majority of wheaten bread. I don't know. An idea, suggestion. All right, maybe you'll find it in the Tosos in something. I looked up. Okay. So, let's continue the Gemara. So I thought it was an interesting discussion. Halacha l'maaseh, practically speaking, if you only have a supermajority of those who eat bread, you can be mitzaref everyone else for a zimun. Even if they've only had something to drink or eat that's not bread, as long as it's something that's nourishing. Okay, let's continue the Gemara. The Gemara has the following story. Yanai Malka, Umalkasa, Krichu Rista Bahadi Adadi. So, Yanai the king and his queen, who's Shlom Tzion, right? She's the queen. They were eating bread together with, I guess, a whole group. And since Yanai killed all the rabbis, they had no one to bench for them. What's the story? What's the backstory of Yanai Melech? Yanai Melech was from the Chashmonaim. He held the title, he took the title, both Kohen Gadol and king. Now, king, fine, but there are rabbis who questioned his lineage exactly. Was he really from the Kohanim properly? Did he have some tool in his background that didn't allow him to be Kohen Gadol? And so they questioned the validity of his kahuna, and he didn't take it kindly, and so he killed all the rabbis. He killed all the rabbis. So there wasn't any rabbis left to bench. There was no one left. So Amar La. Good question. That's a good question. So, that's possible. Maybe that test wouldn't have worked. So Amr Lod Lubitai. So he says to his wife, "Mine Yahivlan Gavra Zivarchlan. If only you could get me someone who could bench press." This is his wife. You know, like, you know, so if you're looking for some help. Yeah, like, you know, could you help me out here? Exactly what Lay says. So Amr Lay, so she says to him, you know, wait a second. Ishtabli, yeah, right, he's very careful about benching. He's very careful. He got to make sure he gets the right guy on the bench. But he wants Zimund, he wants benching, yeah. Look, he was a firm guy. Just don't mess with his background. So Amr Lay, Ishtabli, D'i maitina lach gavra, swear to me that if I bring you someone, if you bring your rabbi, d'loy mitzarele, you're not going to persecute him. So ishtabale. So he swore. So Yana swore to his wife he's not going to kill the person she brings, she produces. So who she produced? Another famous rabbi. She brings her brother, who is Shimon ben Shetach. Shimon ben Shetach was one of the few people who escaped the sword of Yanai Melch because of his relationship to his sister. He was the brother of the queen. So Osve Bain Dide Ledida. So you know what he did? Yanai sat Shimon ben Shetach right between him and the queen. So Amalei, and he says to Shimon ben Shetach, Kama Yakara Vidlach. Chazisa Kama Yakara Vidlach. You see how what kind of honor I've bestowed upon you to seat you right in between me and the queen, right? So you know I'm a good guy. So Amalei, so Shimon ben Shetach says back sharply to Yanai Melch, Lav Atka Mekarisli. You're not the one who shows me honor. El Ayraitahi Dimakarali. It is the Torah that gives me honor. The Torah is what is my source of honor. You're not my source of honor. Dichtiv, because it says in the pasuk, Sasaleha Utaranumeka. If you hug the Torah, Turamek, it's gonna raise you up, it'll elevate you. Tichabdeka, it will honor you, ki tichabkena, when you embrace it. So that's the proof. I embrace the Torah. That's my source of kavod. So Amalei says to him, Kachazi Suleim Nikabo Maras. So he says to his sister, I see this guy, or sister, I see that you don't accept authority very well. Like, right? You don't say it to the king. Okay, fine. So Yavla Kisel of Ruche. So Kassel of Ruche. They give him a cup of wine to bench on. Remember, sometimes people bench on a cup of wine. So they gave him a cup of wine to bench. So Amar Hachi Abidach. What am I supposed to do? And he says rhetorically, should I say, Baruch, you're supposed to say, Baruch Shachal Mishalo. Blessed that we ate from his, Baruch Lokeinu Shachal Mishalo. I can't say that because he didn't eat, right? He just handed a cup of wine to bench. He was not invited to the meal. He was invited to bench. So, Baruch Shachal Yanei V'chaver Mishalo. Should I say, blessed is Yanei's friends who ate from God's stuff? I mean, that doesn't make any sense. So, you know what he did? Shasti Lahikasa. He drank a cup of wine. He drank it without benching. And then he gave him a second cup of wine and he benched back up. What's the idea? Because, of course, now he's been part of their meal by having drank something. Now he could bench with them. So, Amalei Abba Breder of Chia, Bar Abba, Amalei Yochanan, so Shimon ben Shetach, the Ovid, Shimon ben Shetach, that he acted in this way. Meaning, he acted so he was not only starved through Zimon, but he led the Zimon by only drinking. It's his own shita that he's holding. Like it's his own personal opinion, which is not agreed to upon by the other rabbis. A person cannot exempt others or fulfill others' obligations in benching. Ad shochal kizayis dagan. You cannot lead the benching unless you have eaten bread yourself, kizayis dagan yourself. Now, not just bread, but at least the kizayis, the bread. So the interesting thing about the kezayis to bread is if a person only eats the kezayis to bread, what is his level of obligation in benching? It's only midrabban. On a Torah level, a person is benching is one of the few brachas that we make which are biblical. It says ba'achalta, v'savata, u'birachta. You eat, you're satiated, and you bench. Now, the requirement, though, to bench from a Torah level is you have to be satiated, which is more than the size of an olive. More than a kibetza. More than a kibetza, yeah. Because the it's machlok kizayis, mi kizayis la kibetza was the question, so we were more machlok than the kizayis. But the obligation, the level of obligation of this person in the Gemara here, where he ate a kezayit of bread, is only drabanan. And who is he fulfilling the obligation of? Those who are obligated on even a deraisa level. So Rashi points out that this is the correct inference from this Gemara, that a person is only obligated in the mitzvah, midrabanan, can be mighty, a person who is obligated in the mitzvah, midaraisa. But Rashi says, wait a second, is that really true? We have a Gemara which we learned earlier in Daf Chaf in Brachos. This is like a review of the previous, all everything we learned in the past year. Yeah. The Gemara had earlier said that a katan is not obligated to bench. It's way time. No. There's a bright which says that if a child or a person's wife bent Richard. Before him. He's Yotzei, but it's like the rabbis curse him because he's the kind of guy who's, they're only benching for him because he can't bench for himself.
Right.
So everyone should be able to study enough Hebrew and to be able to bench on their own. That's the like minimal obligation. We're not talking about someone who didn't grow up religious. We're talking about someone who has a chance to learn and didn't bother. So that's embarrassment. You didn't take the chance. So the Gemara there says, how can a child fulfill the father's obligation? A child's only obligated with their abundance. The Gemara says, we must be talking about where the father had only eaten a kazayas worth of bread. So he's only obligated to bench midrabanan. So usi midrabanan is mefik midrabanan. The rabbinic obligation of the child fulfills the rabbinic obligation of the father, which means it has to be on a level playing field. If the father was d'oraita, so the child being d'rabanan would not work. Only if they're in the same level playing field. So Rashi says, isn't that Gemara against what we just said here? That person over here in this Gemara says that if he eats the kazayas of the bread, he can be moitzi dechovasan of everyone. Didn't have to be specifically if you were only chayav. So Rashi says, you want to know what? I'm going to tell you, that Gemara, you misunderstood it. You thought in that Gemara that the child was obligated to bench midrabanan. Why do children bench? Why do you bench? You're not bar mitzvah. You know the answer. You ate bread, but eventually you're going to become bar mitzvah, right? And when you become bar mitzvah, what are you going to have to do? You're going to be obligated all the mitzvahs, right? And including benching. Now, if I only, for the first time, tell you got to bench when you're 13 years and 1 day old, you're not going to know how to do it. So what do? You practice all the right where you're doing now. So when you bench now, really it's just practice for when you become bar mitzvah. That's chinuch. So the mitzvah of chinuch, Rashi says, you thought the mitzvah of chinuch is a mitzvah for the child? No, the mitzvah of chinuch is a mitzvah of the father. The father's obligated in the chinuch, in the mitzvah of chinuch. The child's practicing, but who's obligated to teach him? Yamin. Yamin's obligated to teach his son. The mitzvah, when you bench, you know, spread mitzvah is not yours, it's your father's. Because he's the one who's obligated to make sure that you bench. When you bench, and he made sure of it, he gets the mitzvah. Yes, and when you're bar mitzvah, you get the mitzvah, 100%. 100%. Now, he's on the ball. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. I love it. Okay. So that's Rashi's discussion. The Baal Halachos Gadol says, that doesn't make any sense. Why the Baal Halachos Gadol Bahag? The Bahag. Baal Halachos Gadol, also one of the Rishonim, early Rishonim. They say, no, a child is obligated to Rabbanah. But we have to take at face value the Gemara earlier in the Masechta, which says that only that on those on a rabbinic level can fulfill the obligation of others on a rabbinic level. If you want to fulfill the obligation of someone on a Doraisa level, on a Torah biblical level, you too have to be on the biblical level of your obligation. And therefore, the Baal Halachos Gadol says that this Gemara, our Gemara, which you just read, it says, if a person has the Ad Shiyocha Kazayas dog and a person eats the Kazayas, he can fulfill the obligation of others. It means only others who are obligated to Midrabanan. If they were obligated to Midrabanan, if they had eaten a large meal, they would not fulfill their obligation by hearing the benching from someone who did not eat enough to also be obligated to Torah level. That's Baal Halachos Gadol. Now, the question on the Baal Halachos Gadol, which the Tosfos asks, is, we're talking about Yanai. Oh, yeah, you wanted to ask
that. That would be a Kazal.
Or even a Gadol. Here's the case about it. This is Halacha L'maaseh. I'll tell you why in a second. The Baal Halachos Gadol says like this. If we're eating together, we eat a meal. I'm on like a carb-free diet, but you know, I feel like I want to join this in benching. And you're like, oh, you know, I want bench. Let's say I'm a Kohen. So I'll eat a little bit. So I eat a kazayas of bread. I don't want to eat anything more than that. So I'm obligated to Midrabanan. You guys ate a normal meal. You're all obligated to Midrabanan. So according to Baal Halachos Gadol, I cannot bench on your behalf. I can't lead the benching. I can't be mezamen for everyone because my obligation only is Midrabanan and yours is Midrabanan. It doesn't work. Rashi says, no, it does work. But according to Baal Halachos Gadol, it doesn't work. And the Shulchan Aruch says, we'll say the Shulchan Aruch now. Shulchan Aruch says, l'chatchila, it's better not to ask me to bench in this case. B'dievet will follow the opinion of what we see in the second Tosfos and the opinion of Rashi. But l'chatchila, it's best if the person you're asking to bench, to lead the benching, is the one who's eaten at least enough food that he's obligated to bench midaraisa. Remember, other foods will, you don't have to eat just bread of a large amount. If you have bread plus other things as a meal, it all combines together. Yeah. Other things can add to your bread to get you to a level of kizaraisa, but you have to at least have a size of bread. Okay. So Tosfos says, you know, I don't like Rashi either, because Rashi is saying that Katan has no mitzvah. It's just the father. So Tosfos says, you know what the basis of this halacha is? It's the basis of this halacha is the concept of arvah, a raven. Kol Yisrael raven zelza. Each Jew is responsible for someone else. So the reason why I can fulfill the obligation of someone else who is not obligated is because I have responsibility to make sure that they do the mitzvahs properly and they don't do averus. So therefore, I can fulfill their obligation. I can bench for them, even if I'm not even obligated at this moment. So what? How's it different than a katan? We said a katan cannot fulfill the father's obligation, even though he's only mitzvah and the father's deraisa. And the reason why Tosfos explains is that there's a fundamental difference between a katan and an adult. Because an adult who currently is only eating the kezayis, if he were to eat more, it would bump up his obligation to a deraisa. But a katan, no matter how much a katan eats, it always stays derabanan. They cannot get themselves up to a deraisa level right now in terms of eating and benching. And therefore, they are not called, from the perspective of the Torah, a bar chiyuva, someone who is obligated in benching. They're obligated to practice, but they're obligated in benching. And therefore, an adult who is at this moment only obligated midrabanan, he's only obligated midrabanan, he's not on the same level, but he's a bar chiyuva. He's someone who is, in general, in the category of someone who's obligated in benching. If I'm obligated in benching, and you're obligated in benching, and we have our rebus, we have a deal that I got to take care of all of you guys here, therefore, I can fulfill your obligation, even if I don't even have a chiyuv at this moment. According to Tosfos, the only reason why we make someone eat at least a kezayis of bread is so that I can say when I leave the benching, she'achal mishalo. So I've eaten, that I can say, I've eaten of this meal. But technically, if that wasn't something I needed to say, I wouldn't even have to have eaten anything to help you fulfill your obligation. So based on that idea, there's a fantastic chiddush of Rav Zion Nechemya Goldberg. Rav Zion Nechemya Goldberg says that, you know, there are times, Rahman Islam, where a person is obligated to say Asher Yatzer. After he comes out of the bathroom, he makes a bracha of Asher Yatzer. But sometimes a person cannot make that bracha. Can someone else say that bracha on their behalf and fulfill their obligation? Even the other person hasn't gone to the bathroom. So he says, yes, based on the Tosfos. Because since the other person is a bar chiyuva, they would have to make that bracha in general, and just because at the moment they don't have to. But you do, and since we are a raven zelaza, we're connected, and there's nothing in the bracha of Asher Yatzer that says, I did something. It talks about its wonderful praises of Hashem, but it doesn't refer to something that was specifically just done, that was just like achal nimishalo. Therefore, a person can say the Asher Yatzer for someone else if he can't do it himself. Tremendous pleasure. Based on this, Gemara and the Tosfos. Okay, so practically speaking, a person, if they want to lead the benching, has to have bread. At least the kezayis is worth. The chatzila is better if he's fulfilling the obligation of others who are on the Torah level, that the person who's benching also is on a Torah level. B'dieved, if that person doesn't know how to say it, the benching, then you can have even the person you ate less. Okay, so if you're leading the benching, just think about whether you've had enough to eat. Okay, let's finish up the rest is going to be pretty fast, so I want to just finish up to the end before we go over. Okay, so again, just to summarize that point, the Gemara just said that unlike Shimon Meshetach, bench for Yanai Melech even just by just drinking wine. In this case, we don't hold like Shimon Meshetach. We instead, the Gemara says, say that a person wants to fulfill the obligation of others in benching, wants to lead the benching, he has to at least have a kezayis of bread. That's what we follow. You have to have at least a kezayis of bread to lead the benching. Remember, to be mitzareis to the zimun, to join the benching, a drink is sufficient. Excellent. But to lead the benching and fulfill this obligation in the mitzvah of zimun, in the bracha of zimun, that a person has to actually have bread and the kezayis worth. Okay. So Gemara continues. We're now five lines from the bottom of the line. Hachi amr chia bar abba amr of Yochanan the olam. The Gemara asks the following question. If a person goes up and eats with his group, it's eating, and he finds a group that's eating bread. All he does is he dips some vegetables in the brine with them. Or he only ate one dried fig with them. He can join them with their zimun. So the Gemara assumes that meant he could join in and bench for them. The Gemara says, no. It's the Rufe Mitzar. He could join their Zimun to answer, right? But in order to fulfill the obligation of the Rabbim, that's only true if he's eaten the Kezayis, the bread. Itmar Nami, Amr of Chana Bar Yehuda, Mishmei de Rava, Afilu leitavliman elabatir. Again, clearly, all he is doing is zimitzaret, but he's joining their zimun by eating something. But in order to fulfill their obligation and leave the benching, you have to actually eat a kazayis. Okay. Amr Chana bar Yehuda mishmei de Rava. Tuchasa acha Allah yerek v'shasa kos shayin. Even if you just ate a little vegetable or you drank a cup of wine, you can be mitzarif to the zimun. That's how we pass in halacha. If you want to join either three, right? We said it was a machotif, but we pass in yes. And if you want to join a zimun of 10, that you can add people up to 2/3 supermajority who have not had anything more than something to drink, as long as it was satiated. Nourishing. Okay. So, lahotzi. But in order to fulfill their obligation, it might be we're like repeating the same thing over and over again, so hopefully you remember it. Okay, Amr of Nachman, Moshe, okay, we have four brachos in benching. Four brachos, three are deraisa, and the fourth is midraban. So Rav Nachman says, Moshe tikin leYisrael birchas hazan. Moshe was mistaken for Yisrael, the bracha of hazan, the first bracha. When did he do so? B'shash yirad lehem man, when the man fell from Shemayim. Hazan sakal, Hashem satiated us, he gave us bread in the desert. Now, we said that these first three brachos are deraisa, they're biblically obligated. By saying Moshe was misaking it, that sounds like it's rabbinic. The answer is no. What Moshe was misaking was he established was the formula, the text of the benching. The obligation to say the benching was biblical. That's the chalat misaki bracha. Exactly what we said, that was formulated by Moshe. Okay. Yeshua tikkun lehem birchas haaretz. Yeshua was misakein the bracha on the land of Israel, right? Haaretz tov Hashem tikkun lehem, you give us this great land. Kevin shit nichnasu la'aretz. Once they got into Eretz Israel, that's when he, again, formulated that bracha. David and Shlomo tiknu b'ini Yerushalayim. David and Shlomo, his son, they were misakein the bracha of b'ini Yerushalayim. Right, B'nei B'Shalim, B'rachim of Amen. So David tikin la'ayisrael, Amcha, v'ayushalayim yirecha. David was misaking the part where we say, Al Yisrael amecha, v'ayushalayim yirecha, and Shlomo was misaking the last formulation of that bracha, which is Ala bayis ha'gadol v'akadosh. Why? Because David laid the foundations, he laid the circumstance, he laid the foundations for where the Beit Hamikdash would be, but he didn't actually build the Beit Hamikdash. Shlomo Melech himself, he was Abayis HaGadol V'Akadosh. He was the one who actually built the house, the actual Beit HaMikdash. So he was misaking that part. Hatov V'Hametz, the fourth bracha mentioned, which is the Rabbanu, was a later institution. It was B'Yavne Tiknuha. This is actually where, this is not only did they formulate the bracha, but they instituted this obligation. And that was Keneged Harugei Beitar. The Harugei Beitar were those who were killed by the Romans. Beitar was the was the central city of the Bar Kokhba rebellion against the Romans. When they squashed the rebellion, they went to Beitar and they massacred the Jews in that city. And they did not allow them a proper burial. So Dar Ramasya Oso Hayom, on the day finally, Rav Megamliel and his basin, they fasted, they paid money, they bribed, they did whatever they could. Eventually, the Roman government relented, they allowed them years later to be buried. So on Oso Hayom, on that day, on that final day when they allowed those who were killed in Beitar to be finally buried, Tiknu Biyavna Hatov Vametu. They made an enactment that in Yavna they should say Hatov Vametu. What's this bracha of Hatov Vametu? It's Tov Shelo Hitzrichu. There was a miracle that happened and the bodies did not decompose. And Metiv Shenitnu Lukvura, Hashem allowed them to be buried. Stop over here. We'll pick up next.